Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Into hour number 2, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby. Guest light today. I must say, you know, typically 2:40, usually have a guest, but we've been dry past, I'd say, 4 shows.
Been a little four? Dry.
It's been about 4.
No. Anybody out there want to be a guest on the show, call Scrib.
We have 2 guests on today. We actually have 2 guests on today, guys. Yeah,
if you're running around and you have anything interesting to say, I'll give you Scraby's number.
We have Dylan Cease at 3:40 and we have Joe Musgrove at 5:40 today.
Those were 2 of the 3 interviews we had last week. We will play 2 of them for you again here today for those who may have missed
Maybe
it.
Maybe you could get the President of the United States on. He was busy today. Honoring the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers at the
Panthers,
White House.
Panthers, okay.
Good for him.
Are the Panthers having a good season this year?
They're having another good season. They're not. I don't believe they're in first place, but they're certainly in playoff position.
Was it last year that we had Tampa and...
We had a couple with Tampa.
Two Floridas in there last year?
No, it was Florida and Florida played last
the
year.
The Preds.
No, Edmonton. It was an exciting series. Florida won the first 3. Edmonton.
Those two faced off on each other, right?
Edmonton went back to win 3, and then Florida took game 7.
Did Tampa?
Tampa Bay won 2 prior to that.
Okay.
Prior to Florida. But the South Florida has had the Stanley Cup for a while.
Which is very strange.
Time to give it up.
Time to
give it up. There's no ice down there.
Yeah, the warmest spot in the country is the best at hockey right now.
Oh. We do have some Daily Gambit to get to today. We didn't have any bets on Friday. Of course, Greg Camarillo was nice enough to join us.
And he refused to gamble. Smart man. No,
actually, I think we got sidetracked.
Yeah,
we were talking about Gatorade colors, because obviously it's that time of year.
Yes.
Gatorade colors.
Prop bets and things
told
of that
me,
much.
Oh, yes. What's going
to
be
He told me
on
those were his favorite bets, and so I wanted to talk about them, but then we just talked about Gatorade colors for like 5 minutes. Because we're like, does it have to be like ice? Or cherry glacier ice freeze.
What I found interesting is that Gatorade had only the lemon lime and the orange for about 35 years. And then all of a sudden, they must have had a breakthrough.
They did.
And it got good to them. And then they just put every color in the rainbow out there.
Every color, sometimes twice, 3 times, different flavoring, though.
Everything.
What was that one that I said that I hated and then people were mad at me because
was it Riptide Rush?
Maybe it was a Gatorade, but it was like
was it clear.
No, it was like cucumber and
yeah.
I can't remember, but I got crushed for that.
Cucumber.
You get
crushed quite a bit
often.
Oh wait, I just saw a quote from our guy Charlie Hoffman.
What'd he say?
Wow. Charlie Hoffman. This is ESPN banner on my phone.
Whoa!
Tells PGA Tour golfers that slow play is an issue.
Oh hey. And when Charlie talks, they better listen.
That's awesome, because you know what? I have a big 5 question. There was someone that played so slow over the weekend that I think golfers now are starting to call out the slow golfers.
Well,
is it trendy to be slow right now? I feel like we've been talking about it more.
It's trendy to be quick right now. It's trendy to be...
Why is everybody playing so slow?
Because they're pros.
So?
Because they're thinking about their shot. There was a lot of wind. There was a lot of rain yesterday and over the weekend.
All of these elements have existed in our lifetime since the golf game began.
You know who? Jason or Sergio.
First time ever at Pebble Beach yesterday, there was rain and wind.
First time they ever had it, huh?
At Pebble Beach, because they've always had perfect weather there.
No, some players just play really slow. Their whole process is very, very, very slow. Tom Kim was that guy yesterday, and they waited for like a while for him to hit a shot. And he immediately hit it out of bounds.
Why don't the pros do what the people that I play with on the weekends or weekdays do? Just hit it into the back of my head. That's what everybody else seems to do. They don't wait around. They just slam the ball down the fairway.
Great television if they mic these golfers up so we can hear them when they're dog cussing whoever's in front of them out in front.
Do you remember when
I think that would be great
Brooks
television.
Koepka like looked at his watch DeChambeau and he said it's ridiculous.
I do remember.
Which the further we get away from Brooks, the more I enjoy
you,
his
you miss him, don't you?
A little bit.
You miss him, don't you?
Like looking at the watch.
I told you he was a baseball player stuck in a golf man's body.
He said that
he is. He's had a lot of those same feelings.
Says he doesn't want to play golf. He wish he could play baseball professionally instead.
Sorry, Brooks. A lot of us.
And then he gave me a swirly. Lost you.
Let's go to Daily Gambit.
You guys don't remember that?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. As we said, no bets from last week, Chris, so we have a clean slate.
We still have to wrap up and present last week's winner with their trophy.
Let me guess, Tony. Let me guess. It's Chris, because he's bringing it up in the way he's doing it.
Final totals, Scraby 10 and 14, Chris 14 and 10, Tony the champion at 16 and 8. As usual, you're wrong.
Scrape? It's not as usual, but...
You're wrong.
Tony was the champ last
week. Today.
It doesn't. It worked out in Tony's favor today. All right, here we go with tonight's games. This is an interesting matchup. You've got a rematch, I believe, of the final NBA Cup game. Oklahoma City... home to Milwaukee. Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo wants to stay at home because OKC is favored by 16 points over the Bucks, and these are two of the better teams in the league.
Must be.
So I got to believe Giannis is not playing for that spread to be what it is. Tony,
I agree.
You're our NBA expert. OKC by 16 big ones tonight. Who do you like here? OKC... do they still have the best record? No, they do not. They're 38-9.
Is that the Cavs now?
Cavs are 40-9.
Wow.
Yeah. OKC's 38-9, though. Bucks are 26-21. 16 points is a lot. I got it, but like I said, Giannis cannot
Who's all out? Let's see. Antetokounmpo, Middleton, Lillard. Okay, yeah. They're all out.
Why?
I don't know.
What do they have to do?
I'm really glad I bought the ticket for tonight.
Yeah, no kidding. That's true, because Milwaukee only plays there once a year.
On the flip side...
where are they at again?
Caruso,
at
Caruso, Williams, Holmgren, all out.
Holmgren's out for the season.
Yeah, he's out for a minute. We'll be going with OKC.
OKC. Scrab, you got the scouting report now. Who do you like?
By the way, has Chet Holmgren ever really played?
Yes, he was balling.
Has he ever really played?
In the NBA.
You are such a downer on guys.
I am asking.
He's got like a broken leg right now.
Has he ever really played?
The reason I am asking is because I haven't. He was?
Yes.
Victor Wembanyama was it?
I mean, he finished second.
I think he finished second.
Oh, okay. Well, wrong as usual.
But he played the whole year, though, Scrabe.
I didn't. I was legitimately asking. I haven't heard one thing about that guy. And we all said he was too skinny when he got drafted.
Because you don't like basketball.
We were all wrong.
That's okay. That's why you don't look for basketball stuff.
I'm going with Milwaukee.
You're taking the 16 points.
Yes.
I got to go with OKC just because I don't know any Milwaukee players left. Knicks are favored by 6.5 over the much-improved Houston Rockets tonight.
Houston.
At Madison Square Garden. The Rockets are number 3 in the West.
Yeah.
32-16. They're also 17-7 on the road. Quite good. Knicks have basically the same record, 32-17. Scraby, Knicks by 6.5 here.
I'm going to go with the Rockets.
I'm also going to go with the Rockets. They've impressed me.
I can tell you when a young team goes to New York City, doesn't usually, not because, you know, it's just because you want to enjoy the nightlife a little bit.
Yeah, they're too excited to go see Knicks.
I'm going to go ahead. The Knickers.
The Knicks. The Knickers.
Yes.
Knickerbockers.
Glad you said that word.
OKC game, SGA. 34.5 points tonight.
Wait, who over did you say, Chris?
Did I what?
Who did you pick in that one?
I picked the Rockets. I picked the nightlife guys.
Okay. Yeah, Chris missed it.
No, I heard it.
Okay, good. We're moving on.
All right. SGA is 34.5 points. I'm going to say under because the Bucks aren't going to keep it close enough for him to score that many. Tony?
I'm sorry. What's the question?
34.5 points. SGA.
Is that just points?
Points only.
34 and a half. He's playing against nobody. Yes, yes.
Over. Scrape.
Yeah, over.
Over. College basketball tonight, Kansas. By the way, Saturday, while the Aztecs were sweating it out, 11 ranked teams lost. Tied the all-time record for one day. In the Associated Press,
11 of them. Huh?
11 of them.
So the Aztecs moved up, right?
That's a fair point. We keep winning, but it doesn't help. All these teams just stay ranked anyway. Kansas is number 16. They're home to number 8, Iowa State. Iowa State lost both games last week. Kansas favored by 3. Tony, Kansas at home. Iowa State. Struggling. Kansas also lost Saturday. I mean, everybody lost Saturday, pretty much.
So what game is this then?
We have Iowa State at Kansas.
Iowa State at Kansas.
Kansas by 3.
Give me Kansas.
KU. Scrape. Today.
Brock Purdy Cyclones, baby.
Iowa State. All right. I'll take Kansas at home. Women's game, number 10, Duke at number 14, NC State. Good matchup. Duke on the road, favored by 3.5.
Ooh.
Women's college basketball.
Am I at first?
You are. NC State was in the Final Four last year. I don't know if that means anything.
I know nothing about the Duke women, but I will go with them.
You're going to go with Duke?
Yep.
I'll again go with the home team, NC State.
Was that last year that the NC State men were in it too?
Men and women. Correct.
Oh, yeah. Remember that big dude?
They looked like Zach Randolph.
Yes.
They had a big guy in there. Yeah. I don't know where he's gone.
Where all Cinderellas go, which is the real world, Chris.
The real world.
Give me Duke.
Says Duke. All right. That's it. 5 games today.
5 games.
Quick and painless.
Just like that. All right. That brings us to the end of the first segment of 3 o'clock. Let's go to break. When we come back, talk a little more basketball.
Really?
We are?
Maybe. We'll see. On the other side. Gwen and Chris.
Don't forget, 5:30 today. Make sure you're listening. We will announce today's biggest fan. That fan will have a chance to qualify for a night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padre game with 20 of their closest friends. If you want to register to have a chance to win this amazing prize, register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. We call a winner out on our show at 5:30 every day, morning show at 9:30, midday show at 1:30. So 3 chances each day to have your name called and possibly end up with that great prize. That's at 5:30. Let's go back to Saturday. I know Tony wants to talk more basketball, but Scraby and I put the kibosh on that. Just like, come on. Enough is enough.
I didn't really want to talk
basketball. No, I know. Okay. Enough is enough. Let's go back to Saturday and the Fan Fest. Because I think Manny Machado, I think he made people feel a little better. I did see something interesting, and you guys definitely talked to Joe Musgrove. Manny said that he thought, and we'll hear the quote here, but he thought that Roki had pretty much kind of already made up his mind. Well, let's hear what Manny said first, and then
it's got the question in it, too, okay. So listen up, everyone.
All right.
Do you think the uncertainty with ownership, the future, do you think that affected your chances of Roki at all?
I don't think so. I think he had his mindset already where he was going. That's just my opinion.
So you thought he was going to LA all along?
Yeah.
Time for one or two more
games.
When you met him and posted him?
I just a gut feeling, I guess I will say.
Thank you, Manny, for saying everything that I've wanted to say forever.
You have said.
You didn't say it was a gut feeling. You said it was a conspiracy. That's a big difference.
Okay, yes. There's the big difference.
Big difference between you and Manny there.
That Manny has no qualms about saying this.
He have qualms about saying that?
I don't know, but I could totally see him being like, oh,
as long as he didn't say, I think that it was a done deal beforehand and a backhanded deal made quietly behind closed doors, that would be something that would alert stir. Right.
I think,
but if he just says, I kind of think he felt like he was going to go to the Dodgers,
and that's why Manny's smart.
That's his opinion.
Because it's his opinion, right? He didn't say he heard this, he heard that. But he's letting people know, hey, we're not as stupid as you think we are out there, people.
Well, Joe Musgrove didn't respond directly to that, at least what I read. Joe basically said that he felt by the time Roki had got to San Diego, he had been everywhere like 100 times, and you may not have gotten, because he felt like Manny was reacting to the fact that he didn't think Sasaki was that excited here in San Diego. And Joe was just saying, well, by the time he got to San Diego, maybe he was a little tired of the whole process.
Yeah, maybe so.
So,
I mean, listen,
it was a little differing of opinion. Joe didn't necessarily think he had already made up his mind. He kind of made it, at least in the paper. You guys talked to Joe, so
we didn't ask him about that.
You didn't ask him about it.
No.
But in the paper, what Joe said seemed to indicate, you know, it just happened the way it happened. That's it.
Ultimately,
you know?
It doesn't matter
right.
How he came to the decision he came to. He came to that decision, and it wasn't here. And so Padres will pivot because of it. I think, you know, there's a lot of, I think, I don't want to say pressure, but they need guys like Randy Vasquez and Matt Waldron to pitch at least as well as they did last year. At least
I think Waldron's going to be great.
I don't disagree.
I mean, he had everything going last year.
Yeah.
And the knuckleball can desert you,
which sure
it did.
Yeah.
And they didn't really have time for it to come back.
They couldn't wait on it at that point.
That's right.
No.
But,
I think he's going to be better for his year last year. I think Vasquez is going to be better. I think Brito is another guy that will be better this year.
You know, they also have Yuki Matsui, who struggled last year, but he still has a pedigree behind him. He could still be the pitcher that they thought he was going to be.
Thought he was going to be the closer last year at this time.
That is true.
I mean, it just goes to show that so many crazy things can happen between now and the start of the season. Manny, one more thing was asked about, now that Roki has made his decision, thoughts on this roster moving forward.
I mean, obviously, those are a lot of things that were, you know, is out of our control, right? You know, we can't really control those things. He had the option to sign anywhere he wanted to, right? Obviously, we wanted it to be here, and, you know, he went a different direction. That's all right, you know. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we got to, you know, look at the guys that we have in here. Are we disappointed we haven't made any moves? Yeah, I think, you know, as a team, we kind of look up there, and you're a little disappointed that, you know, we let some of the guys that were a core group here, you know, kind of go elsewhere. But at the end of the day, we can't control that, right? You know, but we can control with the group of guys that we have here, and we're going to go and you know, get ready for a long season. I think that doesn't change, right? Our goal is still our goal, and our goal is to win a championship and win a World Series. So, you know, come spring training time, with the guys that we have in that clubhouse, we're going to go out there and we're going to...
Running for mayor of San Diego, Manny Machado.
What I like about actually being in the building is you can decipher the not true statements that pop up in the news shortly thereafter. I ended up texting it to you guys. Bleacher Report. They put out a banner.
Were they off?
And it said, Manny, down on SD's off season.
Yeah, that was
and
not
so when
fair.
You read that and you weren't there last night, you're like, man, Manny.
I would have clicked.
He's pissed off that the Padres didn't...
Haven't got anybody. But then you hear him talk, that's far from pissed off.
That's not what he said. So,
But by the way, they only put print, too, in these articles so that you can't, like, read inflection or tone or anything like that. So it's very one-sided from Bleacher
Report. If you just read the quote that said, yeah, of course we've noticed that we haven't added any players, you can read that any way you want. But if you listen to him talk...
That's what I would do.
Doesn't sound like he's too upset. I think also, you know, I just kind of a funny feeling I have. But the core, what are you going to say? 10 guys, the core 10 guys that are back from last year, maybe less, but right around there. Don't they all get together maybe, Tony, and say, you know, we're still pretty damn good. Let's go out and kind of prove it to everybody that doesn't think we can get this done now.
That's kind of what I've been alluding to this whole time is that. Yeah. Those guys won't approach it or look at it in the same way that us on the outside look at it. They can't. You can't afford yourself to think like that and be able to go out and compete and get the results you're looking for. It just doesn't work that way. And so, of course, they would have loved to have Sasaki. They would love to have had Profar come back. But that ain't what is the cards they've been dealt. And so A.J. Preller, as he said, he needs one or two bats. He needs a pitcher. We'll be waiting to see what that is. But these guys are going to go to proverbial war with the guys that are in their foxhole, in their clubhouse. That's the way it's always been.
No doubt. One other quick baseball note over the weekend that you may not have caught. The passing of former Commissioner Faye Vincent at the age of 86. I know he was commissioner during your dad's career. Yes. He took over for A. Bartlett Giamatti, who famously banned Pete Rose from baseball, died of a heart attack a month later. So Faye Vincent was the deputy commissioner, so he slid into the role. I recall him doing a pretty good job. He's pretty hardcore in a lot of his decisions. He absolutely refused to hear anything about reinstating Pete Rose. I know that.
Nothing.
He also issued a lifetime ban to George Steinbrenner for paying a known gambler money to find dirt on Dave Winfield. That's a pretty famous story, but how about that? Trying to find dirt on your own player. Anyway, Steinbrenner was a cold dude. Yeah.
Game.
He also issued a lifetime ban to Steve Howe, a relief pitcher who passed away in the last 10 years or so. But Steve had a lot of drug problems at the time. Arbitrator reinstated him. But anyway, that was Faye Vincent's legacy. He was there when the Rockies and the Marlins came in, baseball expansion. And then he gave way to Bud Selig. So there's a little history on that. Your guy, Bud Selig, Tony. I know you like him.
I do like Bud.
Save that clip.
He signed your checks. You know, it worked.
I don't think he should be. You know, that's the other thing. But I think he's. I like Bud though.
I'm glad you do. All right, coming up, we'll go back to Saturday and the Fan Fest. The guys visited with Dylan Cease. We'll hear a little of that when Quinn and Chris returns.
3:35. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Dylan Cease joined us Saturday. We'll get to that shortly. But, Chris, I got to tell you, man, your guy, Matt Scraby.
He is my guy.
He is. He's come a long way. I mean, from the times of what is my mouth actually saying to the weather, what is going on with the weather.
Wow, it is raining really hard. This is being cool here on the Entercom Empire. So if you're sitting out there.
What? That was crazy, but it wasn't as bad as, hey, Scraby. What's up, Scraby?
What's up, Scraby?
He was doing a commercial and he said hello to himself.
What's up, Scraby? Remember those days? That was a long time ago.
Every time we opened the mic, anything was possible.
What's up, Scraby?
What's up, Scraby?
So I say that to
blah,
say.
Blah, 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 blah.
Right. One of the many moments Scraby has had on the mic.
Right.
I'll say that to say, Saturday was his first time, I believe. in front of an audience, actually having to conduct an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for Scraby, it may have felt like back in the days where we were playing those clips there.
Yep.
We had an incident. Dylan Cease comes on, ready to start the interview. Mm-hmm. Actually, we've already started the interview, I believe.
Okay. Yes, we have.
And for some reason, Scraby's mic is not working. He's talking, but nothing's coming out of the speakers.
Yeah.
M-boy.
Yeah, M-boy is right. If you could have had my look, I was looking directly at Scraby. Dylan Cease is sitting in between the two of us. As his brain starts to figure out that there's no sound coming through the speaker, I mean, the panic set in. I mean, it was
a panic meter
record time.
How was the heart rate on the watch?
I should have asked that at the time. I know that heart rate had to be three digits for sure.
It was moving.
So he starts to panic, and as I said earlier, if we all had coffee on the desk, he would have knocked it all down. Like, and eventually
he was flailing around.
He was. Eventually, I don't even know that he actually did anything, but the mic came back on. He settled in. And I brought the other stuff up earlier because those incidents, whether it be the weather or what's up, Scraby, they really threw a wrench in the rest of whatever was happening that day. My man recovered nicely.
Used to go into a deep depression for about a week.
Oh, my gosh. He would stop talking almost. And you know how that was?
No, he would make a mistake on Monday, and by Thursday, he wasn't over it yet.
No, he wasn't. He bounced back so fast and was able to get on with the interview, did a fantastic job in front of the audience there. Fine work, young man.
I'm proud of you, but why are you still worried about Kim Villalobos' photo from last Tuesday?
That's been a week.
Well, because
he asked me about it first thing today.
In that case, there's someone else involved with my follies. Like Dylan Cease, it wasn't really a big deal for him because but here, Chris, watch on your little screen that I have up there.
Hang on.
I'm going to be playing.
By the way, Chris, I don't know how you look at yourself while you're doing the show.
Oh, he has to pull it back up.
Oh, you have to. You take it down too. Okay, never mind.
No, I never look at myself during the show.
Are you watching, Chris?
Yeah.
So I the clip has started like with me in the motion of trying to fix this, and here it is. We're talking
to
All right, we're talking to Dylan Cease here.
Don't panic.
Starting pitcher. I wasn't panicking.
You look like you panicked.
I was panicking for one half. Did I look like
Dylan Cease said you panicked?
So to talk,
I didn't
about
get the full effect of it. You kind of picked it up in the middle there.
Oh, okay. So here, Chris, watch it one more time because Tony stops talking, and then you could see me and hear me trying to talk, but nothing's coming out. So watch my face.
Oh no! Oh my God! We're talking to
okay. So when that is happening, I honestly was I didn't feel like I looked that bad. I felt like I had it under control. Rewatching the video proves to me that I can't go off of memory because that was anything but controlled.
See the video, and I could feel
Dylan
the panic
Cease
over here.
Doing his best to keep it in.
No, he was great because I asked him later. Yeah. I go, did I panic? He's like, I think you panicked.
I have another question that doesn't have to do with your panic.
Yes.
Actually wearing like a sport coat there?
No.
Or am I not seeing that correctly?
He was dressed nice though.
You look
nice.
It was like
what's going on?
It was just like a nice jacket that I bought.
What's going on?
You look good though.
Like in San Diego, you don't really need jackets.
You don't. I mean,
I know. That's why I was. If you were wearing a sport coat, I would almost fall off this chair. So
do you own a sports coat?
I do. I have two suits. They're
two suits, huh?
Yeah, I got
full suits.
Yep.
Do they fit or are they from like the 70s?
They are a little tight.
Black and gray?
Black and like
navy?
Like a charcoal.
Okay, black and gray.
Yeah, good. I guess that is gray. But I when I went to go get the suits, they like did all the measuring and everything, and so I tried to put them on.
Wait, they probably should be a little bit loose. At this point, you've lost a bunch of weight.
No, I was skinnier when I got the suits.
How long ago did you get these suits,
like,
bro?
Like 8 years ago.
Yeah, man. We're going to have to do something. We're going to hook you up, dog.
Oh, well, when we had a friend that got married last May
who we all know.
And you had to jump
No, I went on Saturday morning of the wedding. I go and I get my suit out of the closet.
And you held it up and it was just this little miniature thing.
I'm like, I got two suits. One of them is going to fit.
8 years ago?
One of them is going to fit. Put the pants on. Couldn't even get the pants buckled extension buckle. No.
I know how my suits were from 5 years ago.
Yeah. Doesn't work.
I do need to get
even
new
when
suit.
You're in shape, man, 5 years still,
it's a long way.
Things change.
Yeah.
The jacket was a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
Pants were definitely tighter.
Yeah,
I could have probably bust the seam on the back if I tried, to be honest.
Well, nonetheless, the interview went great, other than Scrabby's.
It actually did.
It did. Let's check some traffic, and then we'll get to Mr. Cease.
We have, right now, Dylan Cease joining us. Thank you so much for joining us, Dylan. Here you go. We'll get that on there. We'll turn this on. You got everything in your headphones?
Yeah.
Okay,
he's good to go.
All right.
Well, Dylan, I think the first obvious question, long hair, long beard, have you had a shave since the last game of the season?
I don't think so.
Man.
I don't think so.
That's great. That's
Why
great.
Is that?
Just changing it up. Why not? You know?
Okay. All right. I'm jealous of the beard because I'm a guy who likes to grow a beard. But your beard, how long did that take to grow?
I think this is 3 months, maybe.
Is this
going to stay as we get into spring? Are you going to keep it? Because I don't think I've ever seen you. I've seen the beard before. I don't think I've ever seen the hair.
No, I haven't had hair like this since I was 12. I'll probably keep it. We'll see how it performs, really.
That's the key. How does it perform? Speaking of perform, how are you feeling, man? Obviously, spring training right around the corner. Pitchers and catchers report. This is the time of year where the green light goes on again.
Yeah, I feel good. Working on a bunch of different stuff. Biggest thing is really just getting the body to feel good and getting ramped up. But I feel like I'm on track.
How do you deal in terms of getting yourself ready each and every year? You know, ball players are notorious for always trying to figure out how to get a little bit better. You're probably one of the most consistent guys in our league. Is there as much a focus on finding ways to get better, or is the focus how to continue on the path that you've been on, which is a guy who can get in a lot of innings every year?
I mean, I guess it kind of depends on what part of the offseason I'm in and, you know, what I'm trying to work on. Like, specifically this offseason, I've made a little mechanical adjustment, tinkering with some new pitches. But the bulk of it is just getting my body ready, really. I mean, that's the main focus, mainly. So I kind of know where I need to be in terms of, like, my velocity and bullpens and building up and all that. So I always like to think I'm adding. I'm definitely working on new pitches and exciting stuff like that. So, but at the end of the day, I kind of know that my four-seamer and my slider and my curveball are kind of going to be my main pitches.
Right.
So it's like, no matter what, that's my base and foundation, and everything from there is just tinkering and just seeing if I can get a little bit better.
We're talking to... All of a sudden, is my microphone there?
There you go.
Sorry. We're talking to Dylan Cease here, Padres starting pitcher. I wasn't panicking.
You look like you panicked.
I was panicking for one half.
He made me panic.
Did I look like I panicked?
You panicked.
Okay.
All right.
Well, if Dylan says I panicked, then I panicked. I'm going to have to ask the question about, and I know you've been asked this today, but your name has been a part of a lot of trade rumors this year. I think Padres fans want you to stay here in San Diego. See, right there. How do you deal with that? Because I would imagine that would be hard.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's my second year in a row dealing with it, so I got experience now. Just part of the business, I guess, really. Wherever I go, I'm gonna make the best of the opportunity. I love San Diego, and I want to be here, so it's like, if I don't go anywhere, I love it here. And if they trade me, then I just have to go make the best of it wherever I go.
Now, you talked a little bit about working on new pitches and mechanics. For you, how long does a mechanical change take to be something where you don't have to think about it anymore?
Yeah, and that depends. This specific scenario, I'm working on an upper half thing, a glove thing. I don't know. It's kind of new territory for me.
Yeah, so you're kind of figuring it out as you go.
Yeah, but it really gets to the point where it feels good, and then from there it's just ramping up the intensity. And because anytime you do something at a like a higher power, higher speed,
yeah,
it's like a new feeling altogether. So I can sit and train it one way, but until I'm throwing 98 with
and
it.
Doing in game and, speed, yeah.
And a lot of it, yeah, it's kind of like learning my body, and then I'll throw a pitch and it's like, oh, that didn't come out the way I wanted it to. Like specifically if I'm throwing a four-seam fastball and I'm trying to throw it just through somebody, but it's yanked, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Something happened right there. I don't know. Something came off. I didn't use my legs.
You could just feel something different about it.
And then you see the shape of the pitch. So a lot of it's just gaining feedback from what the ball's doing and then trying to manipulate my body to see, like, oh, okay, when I do this, the ball goes this way, and just see if I can't ingrain that.
Now, the other question I have, you also mentioned learning some new pitches.
Yeah.
I would imagine in 2025, with all of the technology, it may be a little bit easier to get in the lab and create something because you have all of the kind of technology behind you.
Yeah.
Is it easier to learn a new pitch in 2025 versus maybe when you first came in the pro ball?
Absolutely. We got pitch design labs where you got cameras at every single angle and
that's so
they see
awesome.
How the ball comes out of your hand. I've been trying to add I've wanted a changeup. Not a real arm speed changeup my whole career, and I'm such a I'm a spinner. I spin the ball, so usually guys who spin it,
you need to be a pronator in order to be a good changeup guy.
Yeah,
okay.
So
look at Tony with the pronator.
What is
he, physical therapist all of a sudden? What the heck?
I've been working on that two seam. Just get something to go this way because my game is like very, vertical. So get something going this way. Something that the more pitches you can throw for strikes and the more looks you can give batters, the better off you are. So it doesn't even have to be a 20% pitch. If it's something I use 5%, then I've gotten better.
Right. It gives the hitter another thing they have to think about.
Some guys have weaknesses where it's like, for whatever reason, they hit four seamers at a 450 clip. They hit two seamers at a 210, so it's like, even if you have an average two-seam, it's probably going to be better to throw that than keep feeding them four-seams. So it just makes you more versatile.
Talking to Dylan Cease, Padres starting pitcher here on 97.3 The Fan from Padres Fan Fest 2025. And I'm always curious, when you're out there and you're pitching and you maybe hit a rough patch in a start, how much thinking is going on in your head? Or is it more you're just trusting your muscle memory?
I guess it really depends as to why the rough patch has happened. A lot of times, honestly, with baseball, there's just starts where your body doesn't feel good and it's not going to come out no matter what you do. It's just a grind game. So with those, I think it's just you just try to compete. And, obviously there's always going to be – and a lot of it's in between innings. Now with the pitch clock, you really don't even have time to think.
Sure.
So a lot of it's just in between innings, like, man, why – I'm bouncing my slider. Okay, maybe I need to aim it higher. And a lot of times it can be something simple like that. But most of the time it's best – when the thinking is happening in between starts as opposed to on game day. But there's always going to be a little bit of analyzing and trying to adapt.
Well, Dylan, we know you've had a long day, man. We appreciate you coming up and spending some time.
Thanks
and
for
looking forward to seeing you get on the mound again in spring.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Dylan Cease, one of the Padre aces.
I have to say, being a pitcher in 2025 would seem to be fun.
That would be cool if you just said, really like to learn a changeup.
Right.
I mean, now you can go do it.
Let's break it down because you got a little bit of experience in this, right? Even if it's at the collegiate level. Like, so let's say, in high school, I threw a fastball, curveball, and a changeup, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get to school and they're like, hey, man, we really want you to work on a slider.
Yeah.
Back in the days where when I was playing and even when Chris was playing, right? You'd have to, like,
somebody would just tell you, hold the ball like this and spin your wrist.
And do this, right?
Yeah. You'd have to try to do it.
And you'd work on
that. Certainly no film of it.
Right. You'd work on it relentlessly, and you'd try to get feel. Now, with these cameras, you can, see in real time. I mean, these cameras are so good that, they can catch every inch as you start to turn and when you need to turn. They can tell you how much you're spinning on the – and so – when they talk about getting in the lab and, creating something, they can really get in there and do it now.
Seems like, any pitcher worth their salt I mean, like the split finger pitch, that is not something you 100% can learn, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Because if your hand isn't big enough to grip the ball in a split fingered fashion, you just throw that one out. Yeah. You're not going to be able to throw
just throwing BP fastballs,
But I would think everybody could learn a changeup, whether it's a circle change, and a circle change is when you hold the ball with your thumb and first finger forming a circle and then throw it off these three fingers. But anyway, whatever it is, you've got to be able to find, like you said, you could practice it. And somebody like Dylan Cease, you give him a changeup, that would be unfair.
That's what he said.
Based on what he already throws.
That's what he's working on. He needs something. And it's funny, he's as he called it, a kind of a natural cutter with his – him and Joe work the same. Most guys, when they throw – and most of us, when we throw, we pronate. It doesn't feel like that, but your arm is doing kind of turning over. For guys like Joe and Dylan, they tend to finish this way, where they're coming across the baseball. So the changeup for him is something difficult to learn because – of his natural kind of hand motion.
He might not be able to.
But this technology and the biomechanics of it all, understanding it, give him a chance to maybe teach his arm how to do some of the things that it's not necessarily used to doing.
By the way, going back in the day when I was pitching, had I had the ability to study film and learn all that stuff, and would have definitely been beneficial. However, I think if they would have actually measured how fast I threw the ball, and if they actually measured my spin rate and my this rate and my that and everything, they would have told me to go do something else. I'm sure that I had no natural ability whatsoever to be a pitcher.
Can you throw that again? We're not picking up any spin on that.
Yeah, we're not picking up there. Your spin rate is zero, right? All I could do is figure out was to get some guys out. But I know I didn't do it analytically with any skill of any kind.
Quite frankly, there were very few that did. I mean, that was why baseball was what it was.
It was a little different, right?
Because you guys were, all shapes and sizes, getting out there and being the best versions of themselves.
Like, I see now guys putting videos up on the internet of them throwing, like, an 80-mile-an-hour knuckleball, but it's all inside of a cage, and it's all perfect. Like,
my favorite videos to watch now, and it's indicative of everybody's arm blowing up, is when they got these kids, like, throwing as hard as they can into the net, and there's some guy with a gun there. They're not even throwing it to a catcher. They're just throwing it.
Into the net.
Yeah, as hard as they possibly can. That's where we are.
And they put it up online, which is even crazier. 100%.
All right. We're into hour number three coming up. 4 o'clock hour on the way. Chris versus the Fan. 833-288-0973. Get your call in if you want to play. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.